Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church." For more than 2,000 years, he's been doing all that he promised. Today, his church remains an assembly of his saints, providing a place for worship, fellowship, and instruction. In a world that often feels isolated and alone, church remains a place to connect. It's a place to call home. We're so glad you've chosen to connect with the family of believers at Campus Church in the Crown Center at Pensacola Christian College, as together we rejoice in the Lord.
In just a few moments or later in our service, we'll have the opportunity to hear the preaching of Dr. Matt Allen. There are moments in time that stand out as significant. Certainly through the course of yours, through the course of mine, we look back and we remember moments of time. I suspect that there will be a moment that will be forever etched into my mind that have been connected to the preaching ministry of Dr. Matt Allen. I've had the opportunity now over the course of many years to hear him open the Bible and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Every time he does so, he does it with a gravity that's appropriate with the word. And then every time he's done it, he has taken something from the word and directly connected it, not just to us congregationally, he's connected it to me personally. And I anticipate the Lord will do so again today. He serves in ministry along with his wife, Becky, in Papua New Guinea. The first several years, in fact, over 10 years of their ministry there, they served in remote tribal ministry, planting churches, training pastors. They now serve in the capital city of Papua New Guinea. Capital City Baptist Church is the church that they planted and pastor. It's a thriving church ministry, Christian school, training ground ministry. And we are deeply grateful that they took time from their ministry to be with us here in the States and continue to help advance the work that God's given to us and concurrently that God's given to them.
I hope you have your Bibles this morning. If you would join me again in the book of Matthew chapter 10. Jesus in Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9 demonstrated his love and his compassion towards people as they face and you and I face the effects of sin in this world. As Jesus went about healing in every village, opening the eyes of the blind and touching the lepers, raising the dead, healing the sick. And then he calls the end of chapter 9, looked upon the people as though they were sheep scattered without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." And I hope, friend, I hope that you are praying for laborers to go into the harvest, for it is not possible for you to then take the next step and go if you're not already praying. And so I pray and I hope that you're hearing the command of the Lord Jesus to carry the gospel, and it starts by praying. He starts out in Matthew chapter 10. This passage starts in verse 5 as he commands his disciples to go, and the words that he uses, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into the city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And in this passage, he tells how he wants his disciples to go. He gives them commands and he gives them promises. And we can come to the end of the book of Matthew after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus as he then extends that command beyond just the lost sheep of Israel, and he gives the command extended. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Lo, I am with you always." He gives us the promise. He is with us always as we carry the gospel to the nations. I hope you know what the gospel is this morning. I hope you know the gospel, and I hope you love the gospel. For it is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. The gospel, yea, even I am separated from God, eternally lost in my sin. And he who is holy in his very nature, holy, and cannot have sin in his presence. But he loved the world so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross and take our sin. And then the greatest exchange that ever could be, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him, God made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He, on the cross, took our sin so that he might give us his righteousness. And then he turns to us, who are his followers, and he says, take the gospel, take it to the nations, not just here for us. So I hope that you are praying. And friend, he could have chosen any method under the sun. He's God Almighty. He could have chosen any method to get the gospel to the nations, and yet he chose us. Do you realize he could have made the brooks to ripple the gospel message? He could have popped out gospel tracts on trees, made that to be the fruit. And yet he chose to use me and you. He calls us, carry the gospel to the nations. And so I hope you're praying. I hope you're actively praying. It doesn't take a resume to pray. Hope you're praying, God, send forth laborers into your harvest and make it specific. God, send forth laborers from right here among us. Send them out from the campus church. Send them out from our congregation. He gave the promise of divine provision that he would take care of us and provide for us as we carry the gospel. We don't need to carry two coats, and we don't need to fill our purses before we go. Just go, and he will take care of our needs. And then he gave a promise of divine wisdom. In that moment when you are facing persecution and opposition, don't give thought to what it is that you'll say in that moment, for it will be the Holy Spirit that speaks through you. Man, you want a Bapticostal way of living? I get to have the Holy Spirit speak through me in the midst of persecution. What an awesome promise that comes from our Lord. And then the promise of divine restoration, that he will not forsake you and he will make you whole. He will raise you better than you are now. And so today I'd like to focus on the instructions, the divine instructions from only Jesus, and I hope that you will take them, hear them, and follow only Jesus' instructions. Can I read for us this morning the text, Matthew 10, verse 24 down to verse 42. It's a bit lengthy, so I ask you to follow along in your Bibles. Matthew 10 and verse 24, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? One of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be as they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. A lengthy passage, and yet so full of promise. I hear an overarching theme coming through the words of Jesus. And here's the overarching theme. It is enough to be a servant of the Lord. It's enough. And so I see five I'm going to share with you. I see many instructions from him, but I'll just share five of them and I'll walk through them quickly. In verses 24 and verse 25, the first instruction from the Lord Jesus as he sends us out to carry the gospel to the nations, the first one, count it an honor to join him in suffering. Count it an honor. See it in verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? It is enough. We today, 2025 English, we use the word enough like in a very different way. Enough, it's enough, like almost as if we've just got enough. The meaning of the word, it's an honor. It is enough. It is satisfactory. It is enough, as in you've attained what he's looking for. It is satisfactory. It is an honor to be like Jesus. And as I think about the different ways that we can be like Jesus, I think of the ways in which he calls us. Here's 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Be like Jesus. He's holy. So be holy. Be like him. And I hear the words of Jesus. He calls us to be like him. This is the Last Supper. Here's John 13, verse 15. And he's just washed the feet of his disciples. And this is what he says to them. Here's John 13, verse 15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. So be holy. Be a servant like Jesus. And here we see this repetition again in verse 25. It is enough for the disciple, for the servant to be as his master. And there at the Last Supper, the disciple is not greater than his Lord, but oh, how often we live as though we should be better than him, different than him. He calls us, be holy, be a servant. And then he himself laid his life down. And then we're called, count it an honor. Count it an honor. Listen to the words of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as that you are a partaker of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. So friend, they might call you names like they called Jesus. He used that illustration. They called him of the house of Beelzebub. They called Jesus, Jesus, you're doing these mighty works from the power of Satan. If they called him that, don't expect much better. We had a phrase when I was a kid. I don't know if they still say it nowadays. You might remember the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones. Do you remember that? You help me and finish it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt you. And you know what Jesus just said? Mm-hmm. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but there'll be some words that'll hurt you. Expect it. It's coming. And when it does, and if it does, count it an honor. Count it an honor to suffer along with Jesus. Second instruction, I see it in verse 27. Teach this to the next generation. Teach this to the next generation. Look at verse 27 with me. What I tell you, Jesus says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetops. And you might think, okay, maybe he's telling them about the gospel and he's saying, take this and proclaim it. No, wait, verse 27 fits right in the context of suffering. We just saw it in verse 25 and 26. Look at verse 28 so that I can just help you to see that he has not changed topics. Verse 28, fear not them which kill the body. So what is he telling us to teach right now? Expect suffering. Expect it. There will come a time when there will be problems as you carry the gospel to the nations, so don't gloss it over. And I can imagine how easy it would be. You remember Peter writing at the end of his life. He's writing and he's saying things like, count it an honor to suffer with Jesus. And oh, how easy it would have been for Peter to just gloss over that. Only tell about the great victorious times, and friend, as you carry the gospel, there will be amazing times. Watch as people come to Jesus, their lives are changed. What makes my life wonderful on the mission field is watching as people leave behind what they used to love, the works of the flesh, and instead now they love to follow Jesus. Watch their children's lives changed. And it would be very easy for me to just stand and talk about that. And Jesus said, what I told you in the ear, make sure that you proclaim it on the housetop. Expect it. And I think back to Elijah and Elisha as a really good example of this. You remember Elisha is following after Elijah in Elijah's closing days, right? And you remember what happened. The scriptures just give us the overview as Elijah goes from one town to the next and Elisha tags along. And Elijah looks at him and says, what are you doing? Scram, pal. And he goes to the next town, and Elisha just follows along. What we don't have is what the conversation was like between the two of them. I wonder if there were times when Elijah, what do you want, Elisha? And Elisha says, I want a double portion of what God has given to you. And I wonder if Elijah took the time to walk him through. Yeah, you heard about the fire coming down from heaven, but did you realize about, there were 450 prophets on the other side. And yes, you heard about the time that I received food from the ravens, but did you realize that ravens had to bring that food and I had to eat from the mouths of ravens? And yes, there was the time that the widow's oil got multiplied, but do you realize that God sent me to go ask a widow for her last meal? Elisha, you're going to go through some times. Teach it, he says, teach it to the next generation. Third instruction that Jesus gives, verse 28, don't fear man. Verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't fear man. I think of the words of Proverbs 29 and verse 25, the fear of man brings a snare, but he who puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Oh, don't fear man, Jesus says. Don't fear him that's able to kill the body. Fear instead the one who can kill body and soul. Who does that? Jesus, or God does. God is the one who's able to kill both body and soul, send you into hell forever. God's able to do that. Fear God. Men will kill you, but they can't destroy your soul in hell. There will be times when evil men will show up at your house. There will be times when you won't know what to do, but they can't take your soul, so don't fear men. That's what Jesus says. The worst that they can do is open the door called death through which you will walk to spend eternity with Jesus. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which is better. So who should you fear? Fear God. So in this moment, reframe your thinking and listen to the instructions of Jesus. Disciple, follower of Jesus, hear the instructions of Jesus and carry the gospel to the nations. Fourth command. I see it in verse 37. Love him the most. Look at verse 37. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He's not saying hate your parents and your children. It's not what he's saying. He's saying when you put it on a scale, your love for your own family and your love for Jesus, you better love Jesus a whole lot more than you love your family. Can I share a little bit of personal experience here? My wife Becky is here. Becky grew up in one of those big families. I did not. Becky's family started with a very strong grandpa and grandma, patriarch, matriarch of the family. They had five children. Those five children then had heaps of grandchildren. And when I came to meet Becky at 17 years old and we began dating, I went and visited her family's church. And when I say her family's church, it was like everybody at the church was all related. She's telling me, that one's my cousin, that one's my aunt. And finally, I just said, which one is not related to you? After church every Sunday, the whole family would go to grandma's house, and grandma had the spread. I don't know when grandma slept. She's cooking for everybody. And every Sunday afternoon, there's 35, 40 people at grandma's house. And if one of them doesn't show up, somebody wants to know where they're at. It's this huge family. To me, that just blew my mind because it's for my nuclear family. It's mom and dad. We have grandparents in New York, grandparents in Florida. There's four of us boys. We live in Kentucky. We're nowhere near. We go visit grandma. It's an 18-hour drive. We might not do that this year. Unbelievable as I watched as this nuclear family, and then came the day when we told the family, we're going to go be missionaries in Papua New Guinea. And Becky's the first one in three generations to move away from the neighborhood, much less move overseas. And Jesus asks, do you love father and mother more than me? Same sentence. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And the day came after having raised our children in Papua New Guinea on the mission field. They went at 3 and 1. They didn't know life before Papua New Guinea. Ariel came here to Pensacola Christian College and enrolled as a foreign student, carried the Papua New Guinea flag at graduation. But I'll tell you, the day it came for us to come and drop her off in August of 2018, probably one of the most difficult things I've ever done in my life. As we stood in front of Bradley Tower, gave her a hug, I turned around and walked away. Because I knew, if I turn around and look, I'm not going to be able to do this. And I knew I'm going to be 8,600 miles away. And if something happens to her, the fastest I can get to her is going to be 48 hours. And a lot can happen in 48 hours. And I hear an echo of Jesus' words, do you love me more than you love your family? I hope you love the Lord Jesus the most this morning. Fifth one. I see it down in verse 42. Carry his message. You're going to find true life. Take up his cross. In verse 42, show kindness like him. Look at verse 42. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. And all through Matthew 8 and 9, we got to see examples of Jesus' kindness as he walks among the people. He gives his time. Oh, gives his time. I think it was chapter 7. He sits there in Capernaum all night long as they bring one after another after another. And the next morning, he separates himself to go and pray to the Father. Hope you're praying. Jesus' kindness, as he shows kindness and compassion to the people, and he calls on us to show kindness. Even little things matter, friend. Give a cup of cold water and pass out a bandage. I think of the YOM missions groups that came over the years, sat with us in the mud in Kodiranga, pass out bandages. Or give some antibiotics like Christy does. Show some compassion on people. Weep with those that weep and touch a leper. Oh, you can still do that today in 2025. Leprosy is endemic in Port Moresby. You can touch a leper and let them know that you love them. Get involved here at Campus Church and Christian Service and wipe down the bathrooms after church and hold a crying child in the nursery so that mom and dad can sit and listen to the preaching of the word. Give a cup of cold water, he says, because there is reward in that. You are seen by your master. Did you see the words that he says? Verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. It's enough for the disciple to be like the master, and he sees what's going on. On that Wednesday evening, November the 6th, last year, my worst nightmare was coming to fruition. I shared that on the Wednesday evening service. 21 armed men, a pivotal moment for our ministry. As those men came onto our campus and invaded 4 residences simultaneously, they intentionally targeted residents that had people in them. We had just a few residences that had nobody in them. Those homes were not touched. Later on, we learned that they had received some type of intel that there was heaps, I quote, heaps of cash being held on campus. Obviously, bad intel. And so as they broke into each home, the demand at each home was the same. Give us the money. There was none to be had. They ransacked each one of those residences looking for heaps of cash. They went through refrigerators and cabinets and drawers and dumped them everywhere. All they could get was just a few coins and a little bit of cash, nothing substantial. There was nothing to be had. And I mentioned on Wednesday evening, one of the young ladies in an apartment all by herself, she heard the hustle and bustle outside. She didn't know what was going on. She pulled the curtain back and she looked out. I've received permission from her to share her story this morning. I won't use her name, though. She graduated as a student from here at Pensacola Christian College, went on to teach at the academy for a couple of years, and those of you in the education department would know her well. Pulled that curtain back, and just as she pulled the curtain back, she saw a man there with a crowbar about to pop the window. She let go of the curtain, scurried up onto the top of her loft bed, rolled back against the wall and tried to hide there. She's the one that grabbed the security radio. She couldn't say anything for her own safety, but she held the microphone down in hopes that we would hear something. She held the microphone down and she leaned against the wall and hid there. 7 men came through that window into her apartment. They ransacked her apartment. She is a neat freak. Everything is perfectly clean in her apartment. I don't think she leaves a dirty dish for the next day. And they dumped all of the drawers on the ground and emptied her refrigerator and threw the cabinets, and they can't find anything. And then one of them saw her up on the top bunk. When they saw her, they turned their attention towards her, and the first one said to her calmly, "Tell us where the money is." "My purse is hanging on the wall." They took the purse and they ransacked through it, just a few dollars value. They said, no, we want to know where the money is. And then she remembered in a nightstand, she collects her offering in the nightstand intentionally, and then she just gives it on one Sunday a month. And she said, in the nightstand, my offering is there. They pulled it out. Some bucks. They're expecting so much more. And they turned their anger on her. I want to thank God in His grace and His mercy that as they climbed up on top of the bed and began to grab her and rip her down, she fought back with all of her strength. And as they were trying to pull her down off the bed, it's the same time that I showed up just outside and I began to firing that pistol into the air. I mentioned on Wednesday night that those guys scurried, and scurried did they run. Mentioned the stormtroopers. Many of you have talked to me about that. Off they went. I honestly believe that that was the moment that God spared her life, and I'm so thankful for that. Amen. I mentioned also on Wednesday night that we were able to track using an iPhone. We tracked those guys to where they live. The Gualala Village settlement on the city dump. We began to do ministry there, and it was because of that first Sunday that we went to visit. I did not expect that they would ever invite us back. I thought, I'm going to get one shot to share the gospel with these guys, and that's why I went through 20 minutes. Let me share you the whole gospel. You're getting it all right now. As I finished that gospel presentation on that first Sunday afternoon, there was one man. I asked them, do you guys have any questions? Man, I was hoping. Guys, it would have been an awesome sermon illustration if all of them had gotten saved. I was like, do you guys have any questions? Come to Jesus. Nobody, nothing. One guy stood up. His name's Robert. Robert stood up and he said, Pastor Matthew, I think he's the first person to call me Matthew since my sixth grade teacher. But I found that tribal people have a hard time just forming the word Matt. And so anyway, Pastor Matthew, would you mind to come back and share with us again? Nobody ever comes and talks to us like this. Will you come and share with us again? Absolutely, Robert. Thank you, Robert, for letting me have this open door. Robert's a single dad. He's about 30 years old. Has a couple of little kids. As we began to come over the next several weeks and months, Robert was the first one to make a profession of faith, first one to get saved. And I'll never forget the moment as I sat under a tree with my back to a corner that I knew nobody could come from. And I look across on the other side, having just given invitation, as one of our young men is sitting there with a Bible, leading Robert to the Lord. I'll never forget that moment. Thank God for it. And we've been able to see that repeated again and again with Goilalas. I think then also to what happened with our teachers. There's the good of watching God do a work among these people as they get drawn to Him. But then there's also, guys, I'm just going to be honest, there's the trauma. Count it an honor. Count it an honor to suffer with Him. But there is a trauma that goes along with it. And that teacher, over the next several weeks, could not sleep in her apartment. Becky and I, many, many counseling sessions. She slept in our home for the next several months. We got to walk through with her, what does Romans 8:28 really mean for us? Becky and I began to go and minister with the Gualala people week after week, and she would stay at home, understandably so, and then the day came when she said, I believe that God's doing a work in my heart. Do you think it'd be okay? Can I come with you guys when you go to do outreach this Sunday? Can I come with you guys? And then she began to go with us week after week as we began to minister. At first, she would sit next to Becky and hold Becky's hand. But then over time, she began to branch out from Becky, and she began to make friends with the ladies and children. This morning, I awoke to several text messages from Papua New Guinea. They're 15 hours ahead of us. So last night, they were doing the outreach among the Gwailala. I'm so thankful that the team that's there doesn't need me to be among them. They believe wholeheartedly we take the gospel to the nations. Those text messages over and over this morning that I received. Pastor, we just got news that Robert passed away. I'm going to read you the text message that I received from a teacher who endured seven men invading her apartment because she's been listening to the instructions of the Lord Jesus. Would you listen as I read her text? She says, "We're leaving Loloki right now. We were just told that Robert died on Thursday. They don't know what he died from. But he died when they were trying to take him to the hospital. The house cry is this week. I'm so thankful he met Jesus when he did. From walking on the city dump to walking on the streets of gold, what a difference Jesus can make. I can't stop thinking about what heaven must be like for him. And if the break-in hadn't happened," that brings tears to my eyes. Romans 8:28. "It was worth it for those souls. It is enough to be like our master. What an honor to be like him." I'll close with this question. Are you content to be like Jesus? Oh, our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you would cause us to be content to follow our Lord Jesus, and would you cause us to be content to not build our own little kingdoms, not to live for ourselves, but to live for the one who died for us on the cross. For he is the king, and he deserves the glory. For thine is the kingdom and the glory forever. And so, Lord, I pray that you would cause us to follow the instructions of the Lord Jesus. Oh, teach it to the next generation and don't fear men. Love him the most and show kindness to others just like he would. So, Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts this morning. Friend, this morning, I don't know, but what the Holy Spirit might be doing a work in your heart this morning. He might be drawing you and saying, "Hey, you can count it a privilege to serve him, for why would you ever want to be more than him?" I'm going to ask you this morning, you say, "Pastor Matt, the Holy Spirit's been doing a stirring in my heart this morning. I believe that he might be working in my heart to where I would let goods and kindred go. Yes, even this mortal life also, I'm willing to follow him." I'm not asking you if you'll go to Papua New Guinea. I'm just going to ask you right now, are you willing? Would you raise your hand this morning and say, "Pastor Matt, I'm willing. I'm willing to be like my master." Would you raise your hand? Oh, praise God. Hands all over the auditorium this morning. I'm going to ask one more step. Would you be willing just to walk to the aisle and say, "Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to serve you and do your calling in my life, wherever it would be, whether it's right here in America, serving you to the highest extent so that others will not see me but would see you, or maybe it might be in those places like Uganda or Zimbabwe or around the world, Madagascar, or maybe I'll go to a place that's hard to learn the language like Czechoslovakia, or I'll go to a place like Papua New Guinea and be with the Gwailala people in a remote tribe and nobody will ever know my name like Herb Elliott. Would you come?" The altar's open.
We're glad you joined us for Rejoice in the Lord as we've discovered answers to life's questions from God's Word. For a recording of today's message,
following only Jesus' instructions.
Call, write, or go online. Include a gift of $7.50 for a CD or $15 for a DVD. Write us at Rejoice in the Lord, Pensacola, Florida, 32523, or call 1-800-223-9727. Messages are also available on iTunes when you search Rejoice TV, or find us on YouTube by searching Rejoice in the Lord. Your financial support is vital to keep Rejoice on the air. Your tax-deductible gift enables this viewer-supported ministry to spread the gospel around the world, encouraging Christians and reaching people for Jesus. This is Rejoice in the Lord.